Sunday's sermon. It's where we'll find a place that we'll sit for just a very few moments and dine. And you'll have an opportunity to return unto the Lord. You'll have an opportunity to get to where God would have you to be. This morning I want to preach a title of a sermon. We got to get back to that place. If you don't want to get back to that place, you're at the wrong church. There's another one down the road that might have your name on it. But this one right here, we're going to do it God's way. This one right here, we're going to stand on the old way. And we're going to serve a true and living God. And what He calls sin, we'll call sin. And what He calls righteousness, we will call righteousness. And this morning, I don't know about you, but brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Hosea chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Come, come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us, and in the third day," oh, thank God for the third day, "He will rise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." My Father and my God, as humble as I know how to stand before You this morning, I stand as a broke man, a begging man, pleading for the move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm not here to take up space or to take up air, but I've been called by Your name to preach, thus saith the Word of God. And Lord God, I pray under the sound of my voice this morning, Father God, that everyone that would hear this word would heed to this word and they would return unto You. Lord God, You're speaking to the saved man this morning. Now he'd quit living like the lost man and live like a saved man. Lord God, You've not saved us to live any way we want to live, but You've saved us to be a holy and peculiar people. Lord, I'd pray this morning that we get back to that place and to the person that You called us to be. In Jesus' holy, precious name. Guard my throat, guard my thoughts. And at the time of invitation, I pray that the Holy Ghost would draw people to an old-timey altar and they'd do business with an old-timey God. Father, You don't change. The Bible says that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the world that distorts. Have Your will and way in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. You may be seated this morning. We got to get to that place. We got to get to that place. This morning I want you to know, if you look here in the book of Hosea, our Lord and our Father and our God is talking about the children of Israel and the children here of Judah. And He said, I want you to know there's some whoredom going on. There's some things that's going on that is not of God. There's some things going on that should not be. And He says it will not work. And He says, while them things are going on, I will withdraw myself from that place. Friends, this morning as your pastor, I do not want God to withdraw Himself from this place. You said, preacher, what will God withdraw Himself from this place from? And it is from our iniquity and our sin. He does not want us to live that way. He does not want us to act that way. And He does not want us to talk that way. If you'll look with me in the book of Hosea, chapter number 5, and verse number 15, just look right back up one verse. I want to show you what the Lord said. He said, I will go and return to my place. Woo! He said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. This morning I want you to know the Lord said that He would return unto His place until His children acknowledge their offenses. I wrote this down this week. Oh, church, if we could get to that place where we as a body of believers, me as your pastor, get to the place where I acknowledge my offenses before the Lord, seek his face, return unto him. Oh, how we need as a congregation to get to that place. Oh, how a congregation we need to get to the place where we don't please man, but we please God. If you please man, you've done nothing. If you please God, you've done it all. Friends, this morning I want you to know as your pastor, I want to get to the place where I don't care if I please man, but I please God. Can I get an amen? And he says this morning in the text as we read here, why do we need to get to that place? Why do we get to the place where we need to get to where God is? And I want to show you three things in the Word of God why we need to get back to that place. Look what he says here, if you will, with me. He says in verse number one, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath turned and he will heal us. He will smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. Number one, this morning we need to get back to that place because there is a revival at that place. Hey, when you get to where God is, there's a revival there. Hey, you can put revival on the calendar. You can put it on the mark. You can put it wherever you want to put it. But unless God himself sets down, unless the Holy Ghost comes through, unless God speaks to this congregation, they never will be and they never can be revival come to this place. This morning as your pastor, I believe that we need to get back to that place. Number one is because there's revival at that place. Hey, get this morning. He says in verse number one, what has been torn down, he will revive. If you've been torn down in your life and you've been beaten and you've been depressed and you've been in despair and you've been in a battle, I want you to know if you'll return to where God is, there is a revival there. Hey, there's a personal revival there. Hey, before there's ever been a public revival, there's always been a personal revival. Hey, when Elijah called down fire, he could have called anything he wanted on that Mount Carmel. Hey, but you know what he called on that mountain? He called fire to come down. Hey, this preacher this morning that stands before you, you know what I pray God sends to this place? I pray he sends, oh, Holy Ghost fire to fall in this place. He says, what has been torn down, he will revive. He will revive it up. I ask you this morning, have you been torn down this week? If you have, hey, you can come to God this morning and he will revive what's been torn down. Can I get an amen? Hey, but he says there in the word, what's been torn down, he will revive. What's been sick, he will heal this morning. Hey, if you're in a place and you're sick this morning, I'm talking about being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Hey, you face Satan all the days long, and you battled him each and every day of your life. If I can give you anything this morning, don't you talk to Satan. Hey, don't you listen to Satan. You say, what are you talking about? Can you talk to Satan? Hey, I'd say to you this morning in the book of Genesis, Eve talked to Satan. Said, did your Lord really say that? And when he got into that, you know what she started doing? She started listening to what Satan had to say. Hey, this morning I want you to know we need to get back to that place, number one, because there's a revival there. What's been torn down, he will revive. What's been sick, he will heal. Hey, but get this, what's been harmed or wounded, he will bind up. If you're wounded this morning and you've been harmed this morning, he will bind you up and he'll make all things new this morning. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Hey, when our brother stood up here and he sung that last song about the goodness of God, and he was singing it all over, how he took dry bones. Hey, friends, I want you to know there's been a time in my life I've had dry bones. Can I get an amen? Hey, there's been a time in my life and I've been dead bones. Hey, but I want you to know, hey, when that Holy Ghost gets on you, you won't be dry. Hey, you won't be dead. Hey, you'll be dancing around. You'll be shouting and screaming. Hey, from the mountaintop. Hey, he can take you from the guttermost and he can save you to the uttermost. Hey, friends, this morning, he don't do a partial saving. He does a full saving this morning. He said, we'll just get back to the place, hey, where that revival is. I don't know about you, but I've been spoilt rotten at this church. Hey, I've seen the presence of God. I've seen the power of God. And I've seen the purpose of God on this congregation. And it ain't done nothing but spoilt me rotten. That's all God's done. I've seen His fire fall. I've seen it fall from heaven. And I don't know about you, but I will not sit in a dry, dead church. I want to see a church here, hey, that's dancing for God, that's singing from the mountaintops. He's alive. He's alive. Thank God, Brother Garrett. He's alive. Amen. Hey, there's going to come a day this body's going to be dead. Hey, but He's still going to be alive. Hey, there's going to come a day every member of this church may die, but He's still going to be alive. He said this morning, he told Hosea there, Hosea told him, said, I want you to know, hey, as long as you're living in your sin, as long as you're living in the way that you're living, don't you expect the fire of God to fall in this place. As your pastor this morning, if you live like the devil all week, don't you expect to come here on Sunday and see the fire of God fall. If you're going to live like the devil all week long, don't expect to see the fire fall. Preach, preacher, preach. Why don't glory, preach. That's what He's put on me. If you're going to live like the devil all week, don't expect to walk in here on Sunday and see the fire fall from heaven and consume us up. Friends, this morning He said, I want you to know what's been broke down, He'll build it back up. What's been healed and what's been sick, He will restore it. He said there's a revival at that place. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for revival, amen? I'm ready for He to revive my soul, revive my spirit. But I think about this, and we get here, and Hosea's right after the book of Daniel. It's right after the book of Daniel. And you know them old three Hebrew children. We're talking about being revived. Hey, they got through in the fire. And this right here is what God showed me all week. And I've shared it with a few people. Hey, Wednesday night I stood up here and I poured my heart out. And I shared it with the church. And I told them, I've never lied to you. As a congregation, I've never lied to you. But on my voice recording, it says, the happy pastor of Union Chapel. Hey, for the last little bit, there ain't been nothing happy about it. Man, I ain't seen no happiness coming out. I've seen no rewards. I've seen no happiness of what I thought God wanted to do. But friends, I want you to know, I thought about that, and after I spoke that Wednesday night, and the congregation got a hold of that, I want you to know, oh, Satan has released me. He's got his hands off me, and God said, he's mine. Get away from him. And He rebuked him in the name of Jesus. And there is no more of that. There's peace. There's rest. There's comfort. There's mercy. There's rest. There's weariness. There's all that comes. But peace comes from God and God alone. And as I told the congregation there, I thought about them three Hebrew children. Oh, my goodness. And how crazy Satan is. When Nebuchadnezzar took them three and bound them up and threw them in that fire, he was a loser. You see, when Satan bound me up in the last two or three weeks and he had the lie sucked out of me. Oh, Jesus. And he said, you'll never be revived again. You'll never get back to where you need to be. I'm just sucking the life out of you. I get thinking about them three Hebrew children, Brother Jake Gunner, got thrown in that fire. If he'd have thrown one in the fire, he'd been defeated. And as long as I was on my own, I was defeated. Listen to me. As your pastor, as long as I was alone and I didn't tell nobody the struggle, you're a preacher. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell your struggles. Friends, that's a lie from straight from the pits of hell. As long as Satan gets you by yourself, he'll suck the life out of you. He'll drain you. But Wednesday night when I spoke that out, I want you to know I've had a peace all week that passes all understanding. You know why? Because when he threw that one Hebrew boy in there, he'd have been defeated. But old Satan ain't smart as God. He threw all three in. And my Bible tells me where two or three is in the midst. Where two or three gather together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. You see, Wednesday night after I spoke that off, there was over two or three here. And when you speak that off, he says, I'll be in the midst. As long as Satan this morning's got you thinking that you are only one in the battle, you're the only one getting defeated, you're the only one getting the life sucked out of you, I want you to know you'll stay there till he sucks it completely out. Satan will suck the life completely out of you. But I thank God this morning there's not only a revival. Man, you get to that place where God is, there's a revival. But there's not only a revival, but I see something else in the text. He said there's a raising up. Anything that's ever been revived will be raised up. If it's revived, it's got to be raised up. It can't lay dead. It's got to come forth. Let me show you this in the text. Number one, he says, he be revived. There's a revival at that place. Oh, but number two, there's a raising up at that place. And after 2 days, oh, glory. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, what will he do? He'll raise us up. He won't leave us where he finds us. He'll raise us up. He said there's a raising up at that place. Friends, this morning I want to ask you, are you ready for revival? But are you ready to be raised up? You raised up. When you have revival, you can't stay where you was. You can't stay where you was. He's going to raise you up and there's going to be something new go on. He said there's a revival at that place and there's a raising up at that place. Turn with me, if you will, very quickly this morning to Psalm chapter number 40 and verse number 2. I want to show you people that he raised up and he'll raise you up this morning. Psalm chapter number 40 and verse number 2. Not only is there a revival, hey, old King David, he had done got here to this place in his life. And old David done knew he done messed up. He said, oh my God, why has thou forsaken me? And then in the 23rd Psalm, he said, thou Lord is my shepherd. Hey, buddy, comes here to verse number 40. And he says, I want you to know, I may have been revived, but I need to be raised up. And look what he says, the psalmist out of that horrible pit, he raised him up. Psalm 40 verse number 2, he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Friends, I want you to know, when he raises you up, he'll never set you on you, he'll set you on him. He'll never set you on another man. If you're going to come out of that mire, you're going to come out of that clay, it'll be because you're setting on the master this morning. Oh, but he said not only the psalmist, but we know in Mark chapter number 2, if you'll make your way there, Mark chapter number 2, not only the psalmist did he raise up, but he raised a paralytic man up. Oh, Mark chapter number 2 this morning, I thank God he don't leave us in the old, but he'll take us to the new. Glory to God. I'm just glad to be here, ain't you? He said this morning, the psalmist out of the horrible pit, he raised him up. The paralytic man, Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 11, he raised him up. Oh, everybody gave up on him. But he had four old friends, and he said, I'm going to carry him to Jesus. Had four old friends. He said, I'm going to carry him to Jesus. He probably wouldn't have gave much for them four old friends he had. Probably wouldn't gave much for him, but that old boy, I'm going to tell you, after he got carried to Jesus, he gave the world for them four old boys. You may not have a lot of people in your corner, but whoever you've got, you better thank God for them. You listen to me this morning. I still here Wednesday night, and I want you to know, I don't worry about who comes. I thank God for who's here. I'm just telling you. I thank God there's four that'll grab a hold of me, five, six, seven, eight, and tote me where I need to go sometimes. I thank God for men that comes up and say, look, preacher, if you can't walk, don't worry about it. I'll tote you as long as you need to be toted. Folks, I want you to know we all get weary, we all get worn, and we all need to get back to the place where God is. You get your eyes on the crowd and you're going to get discouraged. You get your eyes on the community and you're going to get discouraged. You keep your eyes on this congregation and you're going to get discouraged. You keep your eyes on the cross and you'll be delivered. You keep them eyes on that cross where Jesus Christ hung and dead and died and bled for us. And that blood was shed for us. Friends, there's no man hung him on that cross. His love for us hung him on that cross. He hung there and bled and died for us. And he'd raise us up one day. He said he raised that psalmist up, and that paralytic man, he said, Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, I say unto thee, this is Jesus saying, I say unto thee, arise. This morning, I just wonder who he's talking to right now. And he said, arise out of the mess you're in and get back where you need to be. He said, preacher, he talked to you that way this week. You bet he did. Ain't no daddy, listen, ain't no daddy going to sugarcoat it. A good daddy won't. Let me say that. That may hurt some feelings. A good daddy won't sugarcoat it, Brother Harold. A good daddy will tell it like it is. And a good daddy won't say this. Now, hon, no. Now, hon, you just really need to do. No. You know what a good daddy will do? A good daddy will say, get your tail up and where you at, get back to knowing what you know to do. You get right back to where I put you and placed you, and you get back to doing what I called you to do. There's not a person around here called you. I called you, and you get back to what I've told you to do. And there's some of you in the pew this morning. That's coming from the pulpit, what he told me. But there's some of you in the pew this morning. I can say that God's saying to you right now, probably, get back to what I've called you to do. You get back to what I've called you to do. There's a revival wanting to break loose in this place, and there's people that's wanting to be raised up. He said, did I not only raise up that psalmist? I didn't only raise up that paralytic man. Let me show you this. He said, I raised up that prodigal son. And maybe you're that prodigal in here this morning. You said, preacher, I'm not that far down. Praise God. Preacher, I'm not that far gone. Praise God. But you keep walking on your own, you'll be completely gone. He says this morning, the psalmist out of the horrible pit, the paralytic man, Mark chapter number 2, he said, arise, but the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 18. If you'll look with me there, Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 18. And I want to share this with you. Now, God will raise you up this morning. You know who you are this morning if I'm speaking to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, you're uncomfortable right now. You know the way it's been going. You know what's been going on. You're uncomfortable as you can be. You're like a cat on an old hot tin roof. You're like a preacher at a prom. You're like a fish out of water. You know who I'm talking to this morning? He said, that man, that's a prodigal. And by the way, everybody on the sound of my voice, you are a prodigal. There's been a time that you want to do it your own way and never want to do it your daddy's way. I'll never forget when I got about 16-year-old, my daddy was the dumbest man ever walked this life. But now I'm 41, he's one of the most smartest men I ever met in all the days of my life. He told me, son, if you ever make it over Fool's Hill, you might have it made. His only problem is I don't know if you're ever going to get over Fool's Hill. But I thank God this morning I made it over Fool's Hill through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I want you to know this morning on the authority of God's word that I thank God for what he did in my life. That day he saved me. I was that prodigal going straight. He said, not only do I want to revive you, but I want to raise you up. Friends, there's not a person in this room he saved to leave you the way you was. If he saved you and you're still in the way you was, he never saved you. That's the authority of God's word. Who he saved, he changed. Who he saved, he changed. So preacher, sounds like you got a problem this morning. I don't got a problem with the world. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I got a problem with the church living like the world. I don't have a problem with the world. I ain't got a problem with the world. The world's doing what the world does. My problem is that the church is not living like the church. That's my problem. You say, yeah, like you got a problem. That's my problem. That's my problem. And God's made that my problem. He's pressed that on my heart and he won't give me release. And he's told me this morning to tell you, if you're a prodigal this morning, do as this prodigal said in Luke 15, verse 18. He says, and I will rise and go to my father. Going to be a minute, just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to rise. You have an opportunity to go to your father. But you don't have to wait on the opportunity. You can rise right now and go to your father. He said, what do I say when I get there, preacher? He said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Well, I've been caught. No, no, no. We ain't talking about caught by your parents, your mama, your spouse. No, no, no. That's just regret and remorse. That's not repentance. When the Holy Ghost gets you, they're going to be more than regret and remorse. They'll be true Holy Ghost repentance. But this morning, not only did he raise that psalmist up out of that horrible pit and that paralytic man off of his bed and that prodigal son out of that pig pen, but this morning he's wanting to raise up a person in here this morning. You noticed every one of these men that I've talked about, when they got raised up, there'd been a change in their life. This morning, the third thing, and we're going to close, that I want to show you that we got to get back to that place. Number one, there's a revival. Number two, there's a raising up at that place. But number three, there's a raining. Rain, 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 wash, rain at that place. There's a rain. Look what he says. Then shall we, verse number three, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know if we follow on. He said, preacher, how am I going to know that I've been revived and I've been raised up? How am I going to know? How am I going to know there's been a change? There's going to be a little rain in your life. There's going to be a little water that's going to come down and water you along the way. I told you that the Holy Ghost is like a dove. I told you that the Holy Ghost is like the wind. But the Holy Ghost is like the rain. He says if when you get to the place where God is, not only will you be revived and raised up, but the rain of the Spirit of God will rain all over your life. This morning he says in the Word, look with me here, and if you will. He says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. He shall come unto us like the rain. So, preacher, first time he ever come to you as the rain, how did he come as the rain? He come as a, wrote it down, a gully washer. A gully washer. First time he ever come in my life is like a gully washer. If you don't believe me, get on County Road 16, go by Lee Mosley's house. He's had a gully washer. And he tries all the time to keep that gully washer from washing that ditch out. He's got rocks piled. He's got everything. Culverts even been washed away. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes in your life, it's like a gully washer. Everything that don't need to be there will be washed away. Everything that don't need to be there will be washed away. So do you pray that the Holy Ghost will do a gully washer here at Union Chapel? You bet I do. I pray he gully wash this whole place. And what's not of God, he'd wash it slap out of this place. He'd wash it slap off this whole land that's owned over here by the church. I wish he'd just gully wash through. Wash away that what don't need to be there. Starting with the preacher. Some of you scared of a gully washer. Because you know this morning, if he washed your life this morning, there'd be a lot of things you'd have to let go of. There's a lot of you scared to death of what I'm telling you this morning, that when the Holy Ghost comes on you, he'll revive you. He'll raise you up. He'll come into your life like a rain, like a gully washer, and he'll wash you slap away. Won't be no more about you, but it'll be all about him. If it's about you, by the way, if it's about you this morning, where's he at? If it's about you this morning, where's he at? He said he'll wash it all away. But I've known something else. It don't only come as a gully washer. The rain comes. But the rain comes a little gentler. You know what that gentle rain does? It grows you. It grows you. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you got back to that place in your life where you've been revived, you've been raised up, and oh God, man, you can feel that rain in your life. When I come in here Wednesday night, I was just dry. Tuesday, when I come in Wednesday night, I feel in the rain. It's a gully washer, but I felt the rain. When I come here Wednesday night, Tuesday, I was dry as could be. Listen to me this morning. I read my Bible every day. Still dry. I pray every day. I was still dry. I listen to Christian music every day. And I was still dry. Can you do that and still be dry? You bet you. You bet you. Because I read my Bible. I prayed. When I done that 7.5-mile walk there come Tuesday, when I got to the end, it was no longer about I. It was about he. This morning I want you to know, not only does it come as a gully washer when it washes through, not only does it come in as a gentle rain, but it'll come in as a mist. And what that mist does, it keeps you from being so dry. You can't handle a gully washer every day, by the way. What I've experienced this week, I couldn't handle it every week. You can't either. So once he washes it out, what don't need to be there, he'll just put a mist on you. And you can just say, oh, it's good. I ask you, when's the last time you've been to that place? I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about for sanctification, be set apart. Preacher, can't nobody tell me from the lost world. I can't. If you come into my workplace, the Holy Ghost couldn't tell me a bit apart. That's the person who needs to get back to the place. You profess to be this, but you're living that way. There's going to come a day there's going to be a destination where you need to go. Last night, the kids went to the prom. I'll close with this. God spoke to my heart. I done got where I couldn't see no life applications, nowhere I looked. Last night, we got going to the prom. We done sent all the details. Carry them here to eat. Correct address. Pick them up here. Correct address. Take them here. Final destination. Here's the address. The address right here. Final destination. As I got looking at that text and I got looking, I said, we're going the wrong way. We're not going to make it going this way. We're going the wrong way. On that text, it had the right name of the place. It had the right town, the city, the location, but instead of 129 Brilliant, Alabama, it had 169 Brilliant, Alabama. One number off would make them late. One number off would send them in the wrong direction. One number off, their final destination, going to eat, wasn't the main thing. Getting picked up wasn't the main thing. Listen to me, please. You know what the main thing is? Making it to the party. Making it to the dance. Making it to heaven. Making it to where God is. And making it where he wants me to be. This morning you may have been riding just like that car was last night with a GPS punched in. And by the way, it was trying to find County Road 169. There is no County Road 169. I want to tell you something this morning. Satan will tell you you can do anything you want to do. He'll try to find you everything to fill your life, to fill it up. He'll fill you up with so much of the world that you won't have room for Christ. But you listen to this preacher this morning, if you don't listen to nothing else, there is no final destination that you want in your life but heaven. You make sure this morning you're not off one number. You make sure this morning that you're not off, that you know the Master this morning. You make sure this morning if you're saved that you're living exactly the way He's called you to live. If you say this morning, preacher, I'm not living the way that God's called me to live, I ask you this morning, what's keeping you from getting to that place to do business with an old-timey God? This morning, there's only one way it'll work, and it's when we get to that place. There's a final destination that we're all going to. And I thank God this morning that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll be able to enter that final destination. Father God, I love you and I thank you. Father, I thank you that there's a revival when we get back to that place. Hosea told them there. He said, y'all going to have to return. Minor prophet that he was. He wasn't one of the major prophets. He was a minor prophet. But Lord God, he was one of yours. Lord God, this morning, as simple as it sounds, there's a major cry for the church to get back to that place. That place of revival. That place of being raised up. And that place where we know that the Holy Ghost is reigning all over our life. I ask you this morning, whoever it is this morning, the sound of my voice, that needs a touch from heaven, that they had touched, you would touch them and they would touch you. Just as the woman reached for the hem of the garment, Lord, there's somebody this morning reaching out and they just need to touch you this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I thank you for that place. It's in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. I ask you to stay.